You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G. D-O-D-G-E-R-S-T.
Hello, Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the app and join us tonight for an off-day episode in Spotify Green Room to get in on the action. Locked On Dodgers is the daily podcast covering the World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Central, flying solo today. Vince was at the game last night watching the Dodgers complete their two-game sweep of the Giants, so as I'm recording this, he is sitting in the Dodger Stadium parking lot trying to get out, and so I am going to be solo. I'm going to be talking about this game. Walker Buehler dominated. The bullpen got the job done, some more scarily than others. Going to talk about the Dodgers offense getting it done against Kevin Gausman, which not many teams have done this year. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the Trevor Bauer report, or more specifically, talk a little bit about why we're not going to talk much about the Trevor Bauer report at this point in time. So a lot of stuff to talk about. That's the plan. But first, I want to remind you, please subscribe or follow wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right. So, I guess this first segment, let's just do a quick rundown of the game. It was another team victory. I think the star of this game was Walker Buehler. He dominated, went 6 2/3 innings, should have been 7 innings, with 2 outs in the 7th inning. Gavin Lux made an error. It ended up leading to the only run that Buehler allowed. Luckily, it was unearned. And so, you know, Buehler, but struck out 7 in 6 2/3, only allowed 3 hits, just the 1 unearned run, 1 walk, just a really dominant performance. He struck out some guys with the changeup that looked really good. His curveball, he didn't throw it a bunch, but it dropped in a few times and looked really good. And he had pretty good command of the fastball. So just, you know, kind of what you expect. When you're thinking Kevin Gausman against Walker Buehler, you're thinking pitcher's duel. And that's basically what it was. Luckily, the Dodgers offense was able to solve Gausman a little bit. And like I mentioned, not many teams have been able to do that this year. Gausman came into the game with like a 1.49 ERA. Basically, if Jacob deGrom didn't exist, Kevin Gausman would be starting the All-Star game for the National League. I guess he still might. I think I heard Oral say on broadcast the other day that DeGrom is currently scheduled to pitch on the Sunday before the All-Star game, which that's a different, I don't understand. Now that they give every team off the Wednesday and Thursday anyway, why don't they just move the game to Wednesday so that every pitcher, even guys who pitched on Sunday, can be eligible? I don't know, but whatever it is. Anyway, we're talking about Kevin Gausman here. He has been outstanding this year. Great. And the main reason is that splitter. You know, they call it a split finger fastball. It's a changeup. It's, you know, it's a split change, whatever you want to call it. But in the end, it's a changeup. And what that means is he is at least as effective against lefties as he is against righties in his career. He has a little bit of a reverse split, a little bit better against lefties. This year, he's been a little bit better against righties, but the main takeaway this year is he's just dominated everybody. I think coming into the game, righties had a 407 OPS against him, and lefties had 509. So 509 was the good one there. You know, basically he's been untouchable. But the thing about changeups, we saw it for a few years when Kirby Yates was dominating out of the bullpen for the Padres. It seemed like the only team that could ever get to him was the Dodgers. And that was because the Dodgers had figured out the secret. And, you know, it's not foolproof. It doesn't work 100% of the time. I'm sure pitchers could adjust to it if more teams figured out. But in general, changeup pitchers don't throw the changeup in the strike zone. And that's the thing the Dodgers have figured out. And the reason it's not as easy as just saying, okay, just don't swing at the changeup is, you know, a changeup, arm motion, everything, it looks like a fastball. And so you have to swing at a fastball that's coming in at the bottom of the zone. But if it's a changeup and it's ended up 6 inches below the zone, you just swung and missed. But the Dodgers, what they were able to do on Tuesday and what they were able to do against Kirby Yates all those years is they recognized the changeup and they were able to lay off it when they needed to. Kevin Gausman walked, hit a guy and walked two guys in the first inning. That was very uncharacteristic of him. He hasn't walked many guys this year. I don't know if he actually hit Justin Turner or not, but it went to replay and they said he did. So sure. And then Chris Taylor got a weak contact double down the right field line. It was at least as lucky as good, you know, that it was definitely the definition of barrels are overrated, but it put two runs on the board. Gausman threw, I think, 29 pitches in that inning. So it set the tone for the game. And the Dodgers worked the count later in the game too. Got Gausman's pitch count up. He ended up only going five innings. Later in the game, Muncy hit a solo home run because he continues to own the Giants. And so all in all, they were able to put together this performance against Gausman that knocked him out of the game early. They weren't able to do anything against the Giants bullpen, but still getting Gausman out of the game is a good thing. And they got runs on the board. I'm going to talk a little bit more later in this episode about that concept of working counts, not specific to this game, but just in general. But so coming back to this game, after the Lux error in the seventh inning and then the RBI double by Steven Duggar, Dave Roberts came and took Walker Buehler out. He walked off to a standing ovation mixed with boos for the umpires and then more standing ovation. Joseph Kelly came in the game, stepped out of the phone booth wearing his Joseph Kelly suit and came in throwing bullets, and he got four outs. He got the last out of the seventh, pitched the eighth, looked great. Joe Kelly looks great. He's always had great stuff. It's been the command that has been shaky, and the command the last several times out has just been elite. And so when you can throw 101 and you've got a changeup and you've got a slider and you can command them, you are not going to give up many hits. And that's what we saw from Joseph Kelly on Tuesday. He just looked great. Kenley Jansen then came in, and he was really scary. He hit the first batter, then walked Buster Posey. So it's first and second, nobody out. He hadn't thrown many strikes yet at that point. It was a very tenuous situation. And then he figured it out. And that's the thing about Kenley right now is, as long as he does figure it out, obviously in a perfect world, he would not put the first two runners on base. And I think, like we've talked about, I think Kenley has that humility now to figure out, okay, how can I come out of the bullpen firing on all cylinders, ready to go, maybe a little bit more. But once he flipped that switch, once he got the command, it might have been a slider that got it going. You had Brandon Crawford up, and that's dangerous. But he dropped in a slider, got things working, ended up striking out Crawford, got the last two outs, ended up striking out Duggar to end the game. And all in all, it was, after those first two batters, it was the kind of Kenley performance we've seen the last month or two, which is really, really good. And so I'm hoping that what he did in this game, where he did flip that switch mid-game, might pay some benefits, some dividends later in the season, as he does get into trouble in other games, remembering, okay, I can do this. I can flip that switch mid-game. A bad start doesn't have to mean a bad full appearance. So that's kind of the game in a nutshell. Dodgers win 3-1. Sweep the Giants. They're now a game and a half behind the Giants. The Padres won two, so they don't pick up any ground on the Padres. But, they gained two games on the Giants in the last 2 days, and that's all you can hope for in a two-game series. I'm going to come back in a minute. I'm going to talk more about this concept of working counts a little bit. And, so keep it locked on Dodgers. This episode is brought to you by Green Room. Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. Vince and I will be hosting rooms for Locked On Dodgers once a week. You can finally join in on the conversation you listen to here every day. It's the perfect place to start or join conversations about the league. You'll find fans just like you on Green Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and of course, reacting to big news or rumors. Be sure to join Vince and me today, Wednesday, for an off-day episode through Spotify Green Room. We'll be hosting it this evening around game time. We'll follow us on Twitter to find out more about the exact time and to see a link when the time comes. But for now, go download the free Green Room app now, currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the MLB group for the latest league updates. Follow me at Snydog to be notified when our room goes live. We know you won't want to miss it. Like I said, we'll be live this evening around what would normally be game time. We can't wait to hear all your thoughts about the Dodgers, so we'll see you there. Green Room, changing the way we talk sports. All right, so I want to talk a little bit more about working the counts. I've talked about this in the past, and you know, it's kind of funny because it is a lack of action when you're just taking pitches. And I wouldn't like it if every team did this. I think it would make baseball more boring. But when it's my favorite team doing it, there's nothing I like more than watching them work the counts, getting a starting pitcher deep into his pitch count, knocking him out early so they can feast on the bullpen, you know, all those things. But I was thinking about it the other day. I think it was sometime when I was in California last week watching one of those games that the Dodgers played. And I was thinking about the fact that working the count is only half the battle. Obviously, you have to score runs. If it takes a pitcher 30 pitches to shut you out for an inning, you know what? He mostly did his job. Obviously, he's not going to last deep in the game, but at some point, you have to score runs. And so that's part of it. But also, just let's say every batter is working a 5 or 6 pitch at bat. Now, if all of those end in outs, that's only 16-ish pitches for the pitcher in inning. That is manageable for a starting pitcher. What you need is to mix in some other stuff. Sometimes that 6-pitch at bat ends up in a walk. Sometimes it ends up in a base hit. Sometimes it ends up in a 2-run homer. That's how you start to build these 28-35 pitch innings for a pitcher. And that's what really, you know, those absurd numbers. Making a guy throw 20 pitches in an inning, yeah, you're going to get him out after 5 innings, great. But if you can mix in a 30-pitch inning here and there, that's where you really start to do damage, A, because you're probably scoring runs in that inning, and B, because it totally throws the pitch count off kilter. We've seen it sometimes where just throwing that many pitches in an inning, it lowers your overall pitch count for the game. If you throw 35 pitches in an inning, you're probably not throwing more than 80 pitches that game just because of the extra workload that you had in that one inning. And so that's something that when the Dodgers are on, that's what they're doing. They're working these pitch counts, but those at bats are resulting in positive outcomes, whether it's a walk or a hit or a big hit, you know, whatever it is. And we saw that in the first inning against Gausman on Tuesday. You know, the Justin Turner, I think it was the first pitch they hit him, he didn't do anything to work the counts. He just got on base. But, you know, Max Muncy worked a walk. Will Smith worked a walk. Will Smith, he got out. Cody Bellinger worked a walk. And then Chris Taylor worked the count, worked the count, worked the count. Got a lot of pitches. It made Gausman come into the zone for him, and he fought it off and hit that little bloop double. It was those things, you know. So in addition, at the end of the inning, Gausman had thrown 29 pitches, which is great. It got him out of the game after 5 innings, which was their goal. But also, the Dodgers had a 2-0 lead and Walker Buehler on the mound. And so you, at that point, it's not like the game was over. The Giants are a good offensive team. I think maybe they've played over their head a little bit this year, but they are a good offensive team. And so there was always the chance that they were going to score some runs. But, you know, if you're up 2-0 after the first inning with Walker Buehler on the mound, you're feeling pretty good about your situation there. And that's the thing that, you know, I think there are a lot of imitators. There are teams trying to do what the Dodgers are doing, but the benefit the Dodgers have is they have really good hitters. It's not just guys who work the count. It's guys who work the count and then can do something with it, whether it is laying off that changeup. You know, Cody Bellinger, that first at bat, it looked like early 2019 Cody Bellinger as far as plate discipline goes. We, you know, Vince and I talked about that the other day, about Cody's plate discipline. Later in the game, Bellinger didn't have that as much. But in that first at bat, he had that plate discipline. He laid off some really tough changeups. And, you know, ultimately, at the end, I think ball four to Bellinger, if I remember right, in that first inning, it was an easier one to lay off. He threw it lower than he wanted to because he was nervous about coming into the zone and giving up some real damage to Bellinger. And so all of that stuff works together to form these big innings. And 2 runs doesn't feel like a big inning, but 2 runs against Kevin Gausman, who had been average only giving up 1.5 runs a game, that is a big, big deal. And it was fun to watch. That's how you know the Dodgers are playing their game, their brand of baseball, is when they can have innings like that against really good pitchers, whether it's Kevin Gausman or Kirby Yates or Zach Gallen. We've seen them do that against his changeup sometimes. You know, a lot of these changeup pitchers, It's really, really hard to do that. And the Dodgers sometimes make it look easy. And I just wanted to make sure that I took time in this episode to appreciate out loud that the Dodgers made it look easy, because it is not that easy. It shouldn't be that easy. And for them to do that was a big deal and awesome for us as Dodger fans. So I'm going to come back in a minute. I'm going to talk a little bit about Max Muncy's ownership of the Giants, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about Trevor Bauer, and then we will call it a day. So keep it locked on Dodgers one more time. Built Bar, as you know, is the best tasting protein bar ever. They have currently 9 flavors. They mix and match them in and out, different flavors coming in and out. All of them, the one thing they have in common is they're all delicious. They all have chocolate on them. They are all super healthy. They usually have 17 or 18 grams of protein, 130 to 180 calories, 4 or 5 grams of sugar and carbs, just delicious and guilt-free. So whatever you're trying to do, if you're trying to lose weight, Built Bar is great. I've been using them for that purpose. If you're trying to build muscle, Built Bar is great. If you just want to have a candy bar and don't want to feel guilty, Built Bar is great. And the great thing about Built Bar is, because you listen to Locked On Dodgers, we got the hookup for you. You go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your first order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. BetOnline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season's in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with promo code LOCKEDON. That's promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, so Max Muncy, it was his bobblehead night. Celebrating a home run that he hit against the Giants a couple years ago. And what do you know, on his bobblehead night, he hit a home run against the Giants off Kevin Gausman, which is a feat in and of itself. Hit a home run to dead center. I believe he then said, go get it out of the fun little kids area that Janet Marie Smith made for us. Maybe he didn't say that. I don't know. I said it on Twitter. Does that count? But that's Muncy's 7th homer in 9 games against the Giants this year. He has just been dominant. Somebody did do the traditional. I think Vince might have even suggested this on the podcast yesterday. Somebody went into Wikipedia and changed it, the entry for the Giants, to reflect the fact that Max Muncy owns them. And it ended up being an important run. The Dodgers would have won the game with just the 2 runs from the first inning, but having that insurance run after Buehler gave up the unearned run, it was nice for, when Kenley struggled a little bit, knowing that it was only the tying run on first base, not the go-ahead run. It was useful. So Muncy, whatever it is, I don't think it's anything special about the Giants. I think Muncy's just a very good hitter, and he's happened to have some big games against the Giants. But I also think Muncy isn't scared or doesn't back down from this rivalry, from the intensity of this, and maybe he even feeds on it a little bit. I don't want to ascribe supernatural powers to him, but I think it's entirely possible that a guy like him really likes being in those situations. He's not intimidated by anyone, even Madison Bumgarner, no matter what Aubrey Huff and somebody else, I forget who else, 2 years ago, were saying that Muncy was afraid of Bumgarner. Come on, Max Muncy's a football player from Texas. He ain't afraid of anybody, especially some dude with a gossip girl name. But Muncy owns the Giants, and it's fun to watch. It's awesome. And he had 2 more walks on Tuesday. Just complete command of the strike zone. And then when he does get a pitch to hit, most of the time he does some damage with it. It's awesome. He's been great this year. He's at 17 homers now. Be sure to go vote for him for the All-Star game if you haven't yet. He's one of the finalists, and he deserves to start at first base for the National League in the All-Star game. He's going to be on the team either way, but he deserves to start. So go vote for him. And the last thing I'm going to talk about today is more a here's why I'm not going to talk about this. We'll talk a little bit about these things in general. Trevor Bauer, a report came out from TMZ and then ESPN. So TMZ and reputable sources both reported that there has been a a report filed against Trevor Bauer for assault or some sort of physical assault from what appears to have been a sexual encounter with a woman who sounds like not somebody he knows very well. According to, I guess I'm not even going to say according to the report. You guys know how to Google. If you want to know the details, go do it. I'm going to tell you here on this podcast, I think it would be doing a disservice to everyone involved and to all the victims of abuse for us to speculate wildly about what happened in this situation. There's a statement from the attorney for the woman. There's a statement from one of Bauer's attorneys. You can read that. There's a lot of he said, she said right now, both sides claiming to have evidence. So it's one of those things where it seems likely that we will get more information at some point. But for right now, I personally am not qualified. I don't have any inside information. I don't have any dog in the fight. I'm not qualified in any way to speculate on what might have happened, other than to say, you guys know how to Google. If you want to know what's being reported by both sides, go read it. I would encourage all of you to just let the facts come out. Facts are going to come out in this situation. It appears that there's enough evidence one way or the other that at the end of the day, we might, unlike a lot of times, we might actually eventually have some reasonable approximation of knowledge of what happened in this situation. And at that point, then, if it gets to the point where this is going to affect the Dodgers on the field, Vince and I will absolutely be here to talk about what impact that will have. Not because we don't care about violence against women, because there are very few things I am more passionate about than that. But because we're not qualified to talk about what happened in this situation, we are qualified to talk about how it would affect the Dodgers if Bauer is suspended for a short or long period of time. That's something we'll definitely talk about. And once there are more facts available, we may talk about that more too, because it's not like it's a subject we're going to run away from. It's just one of my biggest founding principles for myself in life is try not to have strong opinions about things you don't know anything about. And right now, this situation with Trevor Bauer and his alleged victim is a situation I know very little about, and so I refuse to have a strong opinion about it. But when the time comes that we do know more or that we need to talk about the on-field impact, Vince and I will definitely be here to talk about that. And until then, I didn't want to leave it unsaid. I didn't want to seem like we were ducking the issue. I wanted to explain to you why we're ducking the issue. It's not ducking the issue. It's waiting till we have something useful to say. And I think there are enough people saying unuseful things that I do not need to add my voice to their chorus. So that's that for that. And that's about all I have today. The Dodgers have an off day today. Then they travel to Washington, D.C. For a four-game series with the Nationals, and then a four-game series with the Marlins. The Nationals, they'll face Patrick Corbin on Thursday, which means Albert Pujols probably gets a start then. Then they're facing Scherzer, and then they're facing, one of the Ross brothers, and I assume it's Joe Ross, and somebody else who either I hadn't heard of or didn't realize he was in the major leagues. So, hopefully it'll be a good series for the Dodgers. The Giants go to Arizona, unfortunately, to play the D-backs. So the Dodgers' chances to gain ground on the Giants may be limited. The Dodgers just need to win as much as possible to keep pace right now until the Giants have to play a major league team again. But it's exciting to play the Nationals, go play them. The Dodgers did well against them in Los Angeles earlier this year. And so hopefully they can have a successful series in D.C., then another one in Miami, and then they will come home for one last series against the D-backs, I believe, before the All-Star break. So that's what's going on the rest of, for the first half of July for the Dodgers. Thank you for being here with me. Thanks for putting up with my voice. I've been sick the last couple days, I've kind of had this lingering cold for the last month or so, but it really hit me the last couple days where I've been pretty miserable. But my voice held out for this episode, and hopefully it will hold out again later today when Vince and I go live on Spotify Green Room. Be sure to follow, download Spotify Green Room. Follow me at Snydog there so that you will get notified when we do go live. Follow us on Twitter because we will tweet it out there. Twitter and Instagram, we are at Locked On Dodgers. If you haven't yet subscribed or followed the show wherever you get podcasts, please do that. And please continue to tell your friends and family who are Dodger fans about our show. We would love to have them listening too. We would love to hear from you through DMs or ats or whatever on social media. You can email us at lockedondodgers@gmail.com. You can leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text at 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. We'll talk to you later today. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs. They're my Los Angeles. Your Los Angeles. Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant?